Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon The Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Hello, Alex.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, Austin. How are you?
I've been better.
Oh no, what's the problem?
I have a Pokemon product review.
A Pokemon product review?
Yes, I was overcome with the urge to get the Pokemon Nanoblox figures.
Oh my gosh, for one second I forgot about the Nanoblox and I thought you bought the, what is it, the 20 question Pokeball thing?
We will buy that one. The one that you grab it and it's a giant Pokeball and you touch it and it's like 20 questions, but it's like, woohoo! Is your Pokemon red? And you have to say yes or no out loud.
And every goes, time, exactly, every time we're in the store, we are overcome with the urge. We walk by that thing and we're like, let's touch it.
I was at the store recently and saw that thing and had to stop myself from touching it.
I know. See, it's different when you have two people because then it's like, oh, you're just being like obnoxious with your friend, which sorry to anybody around when we do that. But when you're by yourself, it's just like lunatic behavior, so.
Yes, truly. Anyway.
Anyway.
I did not buy that. However, I did buy the Pokemon Nanoblox. Have y'all seen these things? They're really cute. They're like teeny, 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 tiny little Legos. And you make little things. They look like little sprites, like from an old school video game. And I thought they were just the cutest thing in the world. I've been resisting buying them for years and years. And just the other week, I was in a mood, I don't know. And so I bought a set of them. I bought the set, the grass type set, because it had Sceptile in it, and it was so cute.
How cute were they after you saw that price tag?
I was closing my eyes for that price tag.
Just don't.
But the reason
about
I bought the set, Alex, is yes, because the individual ones were like $18 each. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not paying that much money for one little thing. Turns out, though, when you buy the set, the set has the mini figures that are half the size of the $18 ones. So I thought I was getting a great deal. I didn't realize that was not the case.
I know. You thought you were being so clever. And you're like, I'm not spending that money. And then you go and they bamboozled you, Austin. They're even more mini than the mini ones. They're like,
correct.
They're micro mini. They're so small.
They're cute as shit, though.
I know. They're adorable.
Maybe not my wisest purchase. Oh, well. But it was something to do with my hands. You know I'm fidgety.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, they're adorable, and they make a really good, like, art piece in your house.
Art piece.
Art piece. Conversation piece.
I think the only art piece I have, well, I have a few, actually. But I have the one that's, like, the waves I did, and that shitty rip-off class I told you about. I think I talked about that on the podcast.
The wine and paint.
The wine and paint that came without wine. Yeah.
No wine. And did you guys like leave early?
Yes, we came late and we left early.
Oh my God.
My friend was not having it.
I mean, honestly, I think the painting is pretty cool for what you did. It's like a glow-in-the-dark, like, or like UV paint.
UV light. But I don't have a UV light here, so.
Well, I'm sure you
gotta
you
get
can
the UV flashlight bulb.
Yeah. You can find a cheap one and shine it on it.
Did I tell you I wanted to go to the follow-up to that, though, even though it was a total scam?
There was a part two?
It was part two, the X-rated version.
Oh my God, that would have been such a better time.
And I had such a good idea, but I couldn't do it because it was like $40, so I'm not doing that shit.
What? Like, going naked or something? What?
I'm not gonna go naked.
Okay, be candid.
But I was gonna illustrate a naked body.
Oh, you were going to do...
Yeah, I was going to get my penis, cover it in paint, and just splash it on the canvas and see what happens. That was the plan.
Oh my God, keep your secrets then.
Okay.
Anyway, what else has been going on, Austin?
I'll show you the picture I was going to draw, and you'll be like, whoa.
Is it going to be like...
It's not me. It's not me. I'm not the person.
Draw me like one of your French girls or something?
Exactly.
Ooh.
All right, so this is a explicit episode already.
Well, technically, okay, once again, let's just get this out of the way. Disclaimer, we're recording on a weekday night.
We've been doing that a lot lately.
I know, we've had some stuff come up the past couple weekends, so we haven't been able to record on our normal leisurely Sundays like we've done. So this may be more unhinged than usual, just putting that out there.
Okay, we got to talk about the reason we didn't record on Sunday this week.
Oh my god.
That was the dumbest thing we've ever done.
We're such idiots, I swear to God.
We were like, we're not going to record the podcast on Sunday because we got to go to the Sailor, or not the Sailor Moon, the Barbie convention.
We talked about the Barbie convention. I'm sorry, guys, if you were hoping for a follow-up. I know.
We said we're going to follow up.
Which we are right now by telling you all that we did not end up going.
We woke up and we were both like, no, we don't want to go to the Barbie convention.
Okay, first of all, I think our reasoning was really valid because it was daylight savings time and we were both dead dog tired and our schedules were all fucked up and we were like, nah, fuck that.
Let's not drive 30 minutes to see Barbies and then turn around and drive back 30 minutes.
Plus, I don't know, I was excited. I would have loved to find my white whale Barbie horse adventure and or Barbie detective, but I had a feeling they were not selling peripheral electronic media at that convention.
We can just find it on eBay. Like, let's...
Oh my god, the last time I bought something on eBay, I bought Digimon World 3.
That's not true. You bought Mario Odyssey.
Oh, that's right. Okay, but I'm talking about, like, classic games.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, who is outside?
It's yes. Barbie. She's come to kill you.
Oh my god, there's, like, music happening. It's like a kazoo. Oh my god, I think it's the kazoo.
A kazoo?
Sounded you like a kazoo.
On kazoo.
That person out there is on kazoo or some shit. Get out of here. All right.
You want me to drive over and yell at them?
I think they left. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Okay, so anyway, we did not go to BarbieCon. However, Pokemon MiniCon is coming up, so we'll see if we go to that.
Oh, guys, pray for us because this is going to be a madhouse. We might get trampled to death.
I'll be a Snorlax in their path. I'll protect you.
It's going to be a Twilight movie all over again.
No, absolutely not. No. Pokemon people are fucking crazy. They're not Twilight crazy.
That's true. They're a different kind of crazy in the
different
best
breed of
way.
Crazy. Yeah.
Look forward to that. We promise that we actually are going to attend, so we actually can provide an update in that.
Don't
regard.
Make promises you can't keep. How was your week? How was your week talk?
The White Lotus party is still on.
Okay, we're halfway through season 3. Episode 5 comes out next week.
Oh.
That's going to be the crazy one.
Yeah. Well, there's 8 episodes this season.
Yeah. But episode 5, shit's going to get real, I think.
I think so, too.
They set it up. Things are going to explode.
They are. It's we're the pot is boiling, and it's about to boil over. And so I think we're going to get some shit in the party. The party is the next episode. So,
oh, man.
We will report back on our White Lotus thoughts in 2 weeks from now. Or whenever this episode comes out. I don't think I really did anything else. I think that's pretty much the highlight.
Okay, great. Then let's not beat around the bush. Because this is not X-rated paint and wine class. We don't beat around the bush here. We are going to keep on going directly into Pokemon.
All right, guys, woo! We are jumping right into these episodes. Let's start with the first one. We have a Chronicles episode this week. How exciting. I actually really like this one.
I'm glad you did.
You didn't like it? Oh my gosh, what is wrong with
that? I enjoyed it, but I don't think it was very good, if that makes sense.
I thought it was, like, insane.
It was insane. Okay. We might have the same opinion, actually.
Okay, well, I guess we'll talk about it when we talk about it. We also have, I'm trying to remember, okay, let's see. Oh, In the Nicker of Time.
Is the regular advanced episode.
Yes, a continuation of the Talo fiasco from last week.
Okay, so let's flip the coin to see who's going to recap We're No Angels with the 30-second summary.
Okay. Who is it?
You are.
Oh my gosh, okay. I have over a page of notes on this.
I do too.
Isn't that insane? Yeah. Okay, don't expect a lot out of this 30 seconds because there's too much shit going on.
Get ready.
Oh my god.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, some lunatic is terrorizing a local village that's seemingly stuck in the 1800s. A local village girl writes to the Team Righteous, and just so happens that Team Rocket appears. Some shit happens, they try to do some dastardly deeds, but end up being the heroes. Turns out that the evil scientist isn't evil at all, but he's just a really lonely guy who's really weird and socially awkward. Jesse and James want to stay, but they end up blasting themselves off, so sadly they do not get a happily ever after.
So you said 1800s. I thought 1700s.
Some kind of hundreds.
We're in a spooky old movie, like a Dracula movie. I guess that's 1800s. Bordering on 1900s, actually.
I mean, are they in, like, Transylvania or what?
Where we're not is Hoenn, seemingly.
Oh my god, are we back in Johto? What the fuck?
It seems like we're in Johto. We're in the deep, deep backwoods of Hoenn, where it's still Johto back there. We've left the Petalburg Woods / Forest, and we're in, like, a farming commune of some sort.
This is wild.
And what's the bad guy from the Smurfs?
Gargamel?
Gargamel is living on his castle on top of the hill.
Oh my god.
I hate those Smurfs. I have to eat them to be immortal, or whatever his goal was. I don't remember.
Oh my god, what a reference.
Yep, so he presses a button as he giggles maniacally to himself. And sends out what looks to be a popular Pokemon magazine mecha.
Oh my gosh, I'm glad that we both put that.
But we will later learn is not. So the villagers, who are 300 or 400 years out of time, they are all ready with their pitchforks and their... Did they have the torches?
I just saw some, like, gardening equipment. I did not see torches. Oh my god, you know what? This was giving Nosferatu vibes when the villagers went to go, like, storm Dracula's, or Nosferatu, I guess, his grave, and they were, like, trying to do the ritual to keep him from coming back.
Yeah, but they knew what they were doing.
They did know what they were doing.
These people are completely ill-informed.
They didn't have, like, technology at all, because she said that she wrote a letter, so I was like, what, do you not have, like, an email or, like, a phone? Like, what's happening?
Clearly not. They do not have it. No, there's no internet access here.
Oh my god.
They're here for mob justice, and they're gonna fight this beast. It's basically, like, a Frankenstein monster kind of thing.
Oh, you're so right.
But it's a mechanical monster. And as they go out, the young woman prays to the stars. And she's like, please, please tell me you got my letter, my sweet dear angels. Or something to that effect. At that moment, Team Rocket fall out of the sky and fall into 3 craters on the ground.
If she uses the term angels, that kind of implies, like, religion?
Yes.
In this universe, so I thought that was,
we've
like,
we've seen angels before, when James died in the snow, as a little boy.
Oh my gosh.
And the angels greeted him to take him to heaven.
You are right.
Throwback!
I forgot all about that part. Oh my gosh. I just think it's interesting when we get these references to, like, real life religious iconography.
Yeah, like Christian churches, because, like, we've been to weddings and stuff with church bells.
When were they in a church?
When Tamaku married Brock in her imagination. And during the Romeo and Juliet episode, when Jesse and James were a bride and groom. Do you like how I have these off the top of my head ready to go? God,
the fact that you remember these is really impressive.
Also, Ghost of Maiden's Peak, Misty pulled out a cross, a crucifix, to fight the Ghastly.
Okay, so we have had these conversations before.
Yes.
It is interesting, though. I feel like every time it happens, I, like, clock it, because I'm like, oh, that's so out of place.
Ooh, I got another one. Brock brought up the story of Noah. Because you're right. They were on the Ark.
You are right. Okay, I shouldn't be surprised then.
Ooh, I got so many of these. This is, like, coming back to me, left and right.
Okay, yeah.
I'm living in the past just like these village people.
Village people.
Not what I meant, but hey. Remember back when the village people were cool? They're not anymore.
Yeah, let's shame them. Shame.
Shame anyway. On what remains of the village people, not the originals. Well, right. Aside from the one guy. Anyway... And very much anyway, Team Rocket land in front of the village people. God damn it.
You did it again.
The villagers.
The townsfolk.
The townsfolk. And the girl from earlier runs up and she's so amazed that her angels have arrived. And Team Rocket's like, what the fuck is this girl's problem? They turn around and there is the robot come to kill them all. And Team Rocket's like, these strange yokels, they say yokels a lot. I guess they can't say rednecks or hillbillies
on Pokemon. I like it when they call them hee-haws.
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 Team Rocket is really mad about the hee-haws because first they think they're here to kill them with their pitchforks. Then the hee-haws, they like worship them. So they're like, we're going to destroy these people's robot and that will make them hate us. That's what we really want. They send out Arbok and Weezing. It doesn't work. And then Meowth realizes that the robot has stopped attacking because it's actually watering a flower. So then Team Rocket's like, now's our chance! So they go over and they basically tip it over like a cow.
Oh my gosh!
And the townsfolk yokel hee-haws are so impressed. They're like, hooray! Hooray for Team Righteous!
Do these people not see the very thing unfolding in front of their eyes? Like, do they not see the watering can come out of the robot and that it's trying to help and the fact that it has hose for hands? I mean, obviously it's a farming implement robot. Like,
do these cottage core fools not realize what's happening with the technology in front of them? No, they do not.
Okay. I think I'm giving them...
Was that too mean?
No, I think they deserve it. And honestly, I think I'm giving them too much credit, so...
They're living in another reality.
I feel bad for them. I'm sorry.
They take Team Rocket, their intrepid flying angels, to what I wrote was either a town hall or a church without any signage.
You know what it reminded me of? Oh my God, I had flashbacks to... Did you ever go to like a bingo hall as like a kid?
But they do bingo halls in churches.
It's like a community center where like everything is like smoky. Oh,
like a local government funded.
Yeah, like the
center. Yeah, okay. Like the local, I'm getting that vibe.
Local center or whatever, and like everything's like covered in like a haze of smoke and like that weird like green felty stuff on the chairs and like
the shag.
Yeah. It's like from the 70s. The building was built in the 70s.
Well, we're in the 1770s.
That's true.
But even despite that, we're also in the 1970s because we have a film projector, and the film projector they have set up to play old film reels of some old tokusatsu. Is that how you say it? I should know this.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Tokusatsu. They're playing some old show in the style of Super Sentai or Ultraman or Kamen Rider or something like that. This superhero trio of people who are called Team Righteous, and wouldn't you know it, they look exactly like Jesse, James, and Meowth, down to the hairstyles and outfits.
This is too good.
So, okay, thoughts on that?
Okay, this was giving Galaxy Quest. Do you remember the plot of that movie?
No, I don't. I know it's Star Trek.
Okay, so the plot of the movie, loosely, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing because it's been a long time since I've seen this, but it's about an alien civilization that comes to Earth to enlist the help of Tim Allen and his co-stars because they play characters on the Star Trek knockoff show, Galaxy Quest, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the aliens, there's actual real aliens, and they are watching the show thinking that it's an actual historical archive, like news shows exactly like this. So they come to Earth and they're like, help us against our oppressors or whatever. And so Tim Allen and Alan Rickman and I think it's Sigourney Weaver, they have to pretend that they're actually their characters, but they're not. And eventually it comes out that they were just playing a role and they're actors, but like, I was like, this is so the plot of Galaxy Quest. Oh my god.
I feel like I've seen that in other stuff too, but I may just be thinking of various Futurama episodes that ripped off Galaxy Quest.
Everything's based on something else. I'm not surprised if that plot line was showed up in different places.
The I'm not a doctor, I played one on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have no thoughts on the coincidence of Jesse, James, and Meowth are also old school tokusatsu superheroes in an old TV show from the 50s.
I'm kind of upset they didn't, like, at least Jesse and James didn't talk more about that. I mean, Jesse seems to immediately recognize the fact that that's a TV show. And they're like, these hee-haws think we're, like, real. They were real and we're the same. Like, I do like the fact that the Meowth person, the actor, was, like, a person in a Meowth suit.
That was funny.
But they don't really go into it aside from that.
That's just an odd little bit of trivia we can always keep in mind. Maybe people in the world think that Team Rocket, like our Team Rocket, are Team Righteous cosplayers.
Is that why they're not reactive to them?
And that's why no one ever calls them out.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good point. Do you think that somehow subconsciously Jesse James, well, at least them, because they're the humans with the outfits, they base mm-hmm. their look on them?
They it's must exact. Have.
It's exact
they match. Must have, somehow.
I mean, it's just too much of a coincidence. It's so close. And even like the R, the big red R on the front of their shirts or whatever. Oh my God, maybe it's not really Jesse and James. Maybe it's Giovanni who's the big fan.
But Jesse and James said they customize their uniforms.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so it is them. Ah.
So silly. It's just, this is a reality breaking episode we need to not question. Because like, where the hell are we? And what is the backstory? Who cares?
I mean, it is a little bit different, but honestly, I don't think it's any less weird than, like, half the shit we go through, so I'll allow it. I had a good time. You don't find this
more strange than usual? Okay.
I mean, I think it's fucking strange that they're, like, stuck in the past, and, like, where even are they? What do other people think about this town? Do they just, like, look from the outside in, and they're like, oh my god, those weird cult people or something? Like, what? I want to know what the general consensus is.
Weird. They use electricity, though. They have it.
Well, they have a fucking film projector, so...
Exactly.
It's such a weird mishmash of, like, time periods. They're wearing, like, peasant clothes from, like, the 1700s, but also they have modern comforts in the form of electricity and a projector.
So the serfs show them this.
Oh my god.
And the girl introduces herself. Her name is Kate, and she has watched these film reels, like, 100 times, and oh my god... Isn't the guy, James, just so hot? Oh my god. She could totally get down on her knees right now in front of him. Ooh. And James is blushing at this.
He's into it.
Interesting narrative choice there. Mm. But Jesse says, I know what we should do. We should get these people on our side. We should defeat this villain. And then we can build our Team Rocket corporate headquarters right here on this land. And that will fulfill Giovanni's assignment for us. Which is to start a new Team Rocket base of locations in Hoenn.
So I guess that is confirmation that they are in Hoenn.
I guess.
I mean, they do reference the Talo episode at the beginning, which I thought was funny.
Oh, yeah. That's going to come back to haunt us.
Oh, my God. You're right. I forgot about that part. I think it's amusing that they would think that Giovanni would want anything to do with this backwater, but whatever.
That's what he told them. He told them, make a base.
Yeah, but...
Establish operations in the Hoenn region.
I'm sure he wasn't, like, picturing this exactly.
No, of course he wasn't. So Team Righteous, the next day, and their adoring fans, all go up to the castle on the hill. Team Rocket is riding in a Meowth mecha. Wouldn't you know it, the evil villain sends out his own mecha, and now we're having a mecha battle, because we're in an episode of, like, Gundam or something, all of a sudden. The enemy Gundam... sends out a bunch of little mini robots that say, welcome, welcome,
oh my welcome, god,
as they carry bouquets as a sign of peace.
This broke my heart, actually.
So Team Rocket sees this and is like, aha, we have the advantage. And they destroy the welcome wagons.
Oh, this was so sad. My heart broke for this guy. I mean, I had a little less sympathy for him once he, like, actually introduced himself. Because he's, like, a lunatic person. But, like, at this point in the story, I was like, oh, no, the welcome wagon. So sad.
Alex has figured out the dramatic plot twist already, it seems.
Of course. Wow. Big brain time.
So Team Righteous nobly pursue the villain into the castle, and the door closes behind them. At which point it reveals the evil mastermind, mad scientist, is Dr. Brown? Professor Brown?
Is this supposed to be, like, a reference to Doc Brown from, like, Back to the Future? Like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, is that what they were referencing? I knew it was something.
That's what I got, but I could be wrong.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. So, Doc Brown is here. He's looking a little rough these days.
God, he looks like he's out of a different anime.
He does. I think, okay, so here's my theory.
Oh, God.
Doc Brown takes us to his, like, hangar of mecha robots. And I noticed one of them in the background is totally a Dalek from Doctor Who.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. Oh, dang.
And so at this point, I'm like, okay, that probably means that all of these mecha we're seeing are all references to various old anime and stuff that Alex and I don't know because we don't have the frame of reference to know any of this stuff. He is probably a character referencing some villainous character from some sort of something. I'm like, my brain is going big galaxy brain over here being like, what does it all mean?
Maybe it's not even that deep. I don't know.
No, probably not. If anyone knows anything about, like, classic robot anime, please let us know and help me decipher this. Because I'm like Charlie Day with the Board of Madness over here. But, like, it's all question marks. So I don't know what anything is.
I'm going to have to, like, rein Austin back in and be like, please do not go back and watch every single episode where a popular Pokemon magazine mecha came into play.
I do not need to do that because Bulbapedia has a list of all the Team Rocket mechas.
I'm sure they do have a list. Of course they have
a list. No, I know they have a list because I looked.
I like how the implication, or can it, at least can we, like, make pretend that this guy is the creator of all the mechas that we've seen so far?
No, I think he's not involved in popular Pokemon magazine.
Oh, dang. That would have been some nice lore.
I don't know where he gets his wealth from, but I don't think he's selling weapon systems to popular Pokemon magazine.
I mean, obviously, like, this town is like a remnant of, like, feudal times. Because the fact that they have a castle overlooking the town on the top of the hill, overlooking all the little, like, peasant houses. I want to know the backstory of this fucking town. Like, who was the king or whatever that, like, lorded over these people? I have so many questions.
I will note, not the only backwards kingdom in the region of Hoenn.
Oh?
There's more to come.
Oh? Okay. I don't remember.
See, this guy, his backstory is he just moved to town a few months ago. And he's so socially awkward and weird that he doesn't know how to introduce himself to these peasant people. Which, I'm like, dude, Doc Brown, you're probably the least weird person in this fucking area. Like, you need to get out. Did they reject you everywhere else and this is where you had to go? What's his story?
To be fair, he's moving into this, like, very isolated town where it seems like these people are kind of intolerant. And they confront any new and unknown thing with, like, weapons. So
at no point did anyone go up to the castle on the hill to introduce themselves to him.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
He also didn't go down there and introduce himself. So it's a two-way street.
He tried by using his welcome robots. And he did it again and again and again. And little did the townspeople know that what the robots actually were doing was not coming to kill them all. It was tilling the soil and helping them with the harvest, because it's the harvest season now. Silly village denizens, do they not know what a harvester robot looks like?
Rookie mistake. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking that would it have been so hard for him to, like, paste a note, slap a sticky note on that fucking thing and be like, hello, this is my harvester robot, or even, like, do a pre-recording thing, play a little message and say, like, hello.
Well, that thing can't play a message when it's been disassembled and thrown into the river.
Maybe he should have led with a little drone thing with, like, a bouquet of flowers and, like, a little pre-recorded thing that says, hello, I'm here to help you with your soil problems.
He tried that already and they shot it down with a rifle. We don't see their rifles, but they have rifles.
Do they? I was about to say, do they have muskets? Are we that advanced yet or what? Like,
they have film projectors.
Oh, that's true.
Team Rocket's new plan is genius because they're going to use this guy to make them a Team Rocket Mecha Armada and circumvent popular Pokemon magazine altogether. And that'll just work great. They're going to force the Industrial Revolution on this community and they're going to make them all into factory workers and they'll all die of the black lung or get their limbs ripped off by machinery.
Oh my God. Where is OSHA? Where is OSHA?
Not here. Not here.
For a second, I was going to make an argument about, like, maybe this isn't such a bad idea because, like, for once we can get some competition in the market against popular Pokemon magazine so they don't have a monopoly on weird robots. But I think you've convinced me that this is not a good idea.
I don't know. These people would go along with it too. Well, actually, we know for a fact they would. Mm. Continuing on, Team Rocket's plan is strange because they kowtow Doc Brown, put him into the mecha, drive the mecha outside and say, people of wherever the fuck we are, we have captured the evil villain and he is now on our side. And you will all now be our laborers.
And they're like, yay, that sounds great.
So I'm fascinated to know where this is going to keep going.
God, if only they could continue.
In that moment, the flock of Taylor from the previous episode returned. Surprise! Oh my God.
Continuity. That's fucking crazy.
This is a wild episode because they made it so specifically had to be released after the previous mainline episode. It couldn't take place anywhere.
I guess we haven't really seen any other, like, bird Pokemon that they could have used. I mean, I guess they could have used Wingull, but that doesn't seem as, like, threatening. I don't know.
No. It's those mischievous Talo. And these Talo go around, as we know, and they, like, raise areas and eat all the food and destroy the local ecology and then move on to a new location. So it'd be really bad, actually, if these Talo came to this small community, because all these people would starve to death within, like, a month.
So are Talos, like, an invasive species or something? Because I feel like they're extremely destructive for being just,
these,
like,
Talos are. Are birds. All Do swallows do that? Surely
do,
not.
Do they?
Do swallows destroy
people's lives?
Oh, my God.
Lives.
It said, do swallows kill their babies at night?
What?
That's when you Google do swallows, that's what comes up on Google.
I'm going to see, can I like check and see what it says for me?
Yeah,
what's
sure.
The predictive AI going to say? Hold on, I got to go to Google. What do swallows represent? That's the first option. There's also, what do swallows and humans have in common? Yours was weird. Like, how did you get...
Mine was really weird.
How did you get that? What the heck?
I don't know.
Huh.
All these Park Service websites are saying that swallows have an enormous benefit to the environment, and they are insect controllers. Okay.
So...
These are not normal Talos.
Apparently. All right.
So, now, at this point, we all have a common enemy, which is good, because one of those farmer guys was like, let's string him up and kill him. Did you notice that?
No. Oh, my God. Was this after the Talos or before the Talos?
Before the Talos. One guy with a pitchfork was, like, not having this. He was like, why should we do this? And Kate's like, because Team Righteous says so.
Oh, my God. I think I missed that part.
All right. It was a lot happening. So the Talos come. Thankfully, Team Righteous is here in their robot, and they're going to fight the Talos. But wouldn't you know it, this is the one time Team Rocket is not equipped to fight something with a mecha. That's unfortunate. So Doc Brown jumps to the rescue, and he's like, don't worry. I have our mid-season upgrade, so we can get the children to buy new toys. So he pulls a switch, and he pulls out a giant flying jetpack that attaches itself to the mecha.
Did they market these toys? Like, could you imagine?
Yeah, that's what they do. Okay, I've seen every episode of Power Rangers.
Oh, you're making a commentary on the, like, robot anime. I was like...
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they didn't market a Meowth-headed trash can with attachable wings on it.
That's not the money goer for Pokemon. Ah. The money goer for Pokemon is the actual Pokemon.
That's
but
true.
For a robot anime or show...
Got it.
You gotta upgrade the mecha all throughout so there's new toys on the shelves at all times. And you gotta add the Sixth Ranger.
We watched Power Rangers. Yeah. The Zords. Was it Zords?
New Zords. Zord upgrades. New combinations, the Ultra Zord.
Oh my God.
The flying jetpack that Doc Brown attaches to the Meowth mecha. Yeah.
The flute knife thing that the Green Power Ranger plays.
Oh, we love that flute knife thing.
Oh my God, so good.
So now Team Righteous's mecha is jetpack equipped and is able to fly up to the Talos, but they don't know what to do. And Doc Brown is like, I know, we're going to suck them in. Which I'm like, this is what Team Rocket does every goddamn week? But okay, they're not ready to do it this week, I guess. They're not prepared.
They were having an off day.
They really were. So all the Talos are sucked into the robot, and they come back to the ground, and all the villagers celebrate, and they're like, hooray for Doc Brown! And Team Rocket is jealous, because, oh my God, we're the heroes. Why are we celebrating that guy? And they're not going to be able to force all these people to be their laborers if they don't worship them like gods. So Jesse's like, fuck it. Let's kill all these people and get out of here. But but Meowth realizes that there's a problem with that idea. Because James is out of the robot. He's on the ground talking to Kate, blushing a storm. And Kate's like, come stay with me forever and father my children, James.
Oh my God, she's so in love with... Well, she's not in love with James, per se. She's in love with...
The actor... From that show.
Team Righteous, whatever his name was. I mean, we don't even know, but...
The Burr-Eye Effect, I believe it's called.
The what?
Okay, more lore.
I need to know. Is this when people are in love with the actor thinking that they're the character? Not being able
not
to separate
quite.
Reality from... Oh.
Burai is the Super Sentai equivalent to Tommy Oliver from Power Rangers, the Green Whoa. Ranger. He apparently was so hot that the moms of the children watching, like, really tuned in to see him. And
oh
it's called
gosh.
The Burai effect.
Oh, I see. All right, whatever pulls in viewers, I guess.
It works. So Kate wants James to lay his seed in her.
Whoa.
So James goes back onto the Mecca and is like, Jesse and Meowth, let's stay here forever. And they don't seem to need much convincing. They're like, yeah, let's stay here forever. At that moment, James presses the button, and it's the leave the episode button, because they launch into the sky, never to be seen again by these people. And Kate's like, I'll love you forever, Team Righteous. Look at them go. And then they turn to Doc Brown, and they're like, okay, Doc Brown, we'll all help you build your farmer robots. So their future as factory workers is secured.
I guess they're embracing the future.
They got quite a few revolutions to go through
yes,
before they get to the present.
True. This industrial revolution is going to end up destroying them. So RIP this town.
God, I'm okay with these people dying.
Like, okay.
They're not adding anything. Meanwhile, the Team Rocket mecha explodes midair. So Jesse, James, and Meowth fall into the trees. And they're like, ugh. We lost our one chance to be good people. And then, wouldn't you know it, the twerps walk right beneath them at that moment. And they're like, forget that. We got to get that Pikachu. At which point, Wobbuffet finally makes an appearance.
Oh, we haven't seen it yet. Wow.
Where the hell has he been? It's a classic. He appears on the branch that they are resting on. And the branch breaks and they fall to the ground. The end.
Okay, a couple thoughts. One, I'm not really sure why... Or, like, what's stopping them from going back to this town if they really wanted to? I mean...
They only got there by crash landing. They don't know where it is.
They couldn't, like, find it on a map or, like, ask someone or what? Like...
This town is on no maps.
Okay. That's true.
The PokéNav does not have this town on it.
Maybe it does.
Otherwise,
exist.
The twerps would have gone there and we'd have a filler adventure there.
True. Maybe it's one of those, like, weird blips in reality where it only exists in, like, certain... times and places and you have to fall directly into it it's like between
the harvest moon and the
yeah it's on a different plane of existence. You got to be very specific in how you get there. Also, I guess to the Wobbuffet point, did they forget about Wobbuffet up to this point or what?
I don't know. This is a weird episode. Did you notice the animation seemed a little off?
Oh yeah, it was definitely different.
Specifically their faces was very different. I guess it's because these are like bonus episodes.
Was it done by a different team?
I don't know. Okay. Do not ask me about the production of these things.
Usually you have more behind the scenes insight when this stuff happens, but I guess not this time.
I just noticed it looked weird. That's all.
It did. It did look different. Yeah, I guess the moral of the story is Jesse and James can't break their addiction to messing with the twerps. So.
Well, we know that. That's not news.
That isn't news.
Do you think this should have been a regular episode?
That's a good question, considering the fact that we had the Talo continuity. I feel like it could have fit in to the normal episodes, but they didn't have Ash, like, front and center, so I can see why. I mean, they have had, like, the Pokemon get lost, where Ash isn't the focus, but I don't know. I guess it could work.
It could have just put in a scene at the beginning of the twerps blasting Team Rocket off.
Yeah.
And then they have one little cameo in the middle. I think the only reason this wasn't a mainline episode was because we're too early into Hoenn. We're introducing new Pokemon. We gotta get things moving.
That's probably a good reason why. I mean, we have had, like, continuity episodes where they've kind of recapped stuff at the beginning. So, to your point, like, they could have had the very end of the last episode where they blast them off. They get up to their shenanigans. Maybe they hear, like, a distant explosion from, like, all this mecha shit that's going on. Like, when we, like, cut back to Ash and friends. And then at the end, you know, we see them, like, walking back or whatever. But,
Just an odd one.
I liked it. It's not that bad. I mean, it's no Brock's family reunion episode.
No. The Chronicle standards are very high at this point. And I think this brought it back down to reality a little bit for me.
Okay, well, to be fair, we've only had two. We had the Brock family reunion and we had Misty... becoming the gym leader, which that was a good episode too, but it was okay. I would say I'd give it like a solid 7 out of 10.
I give it an R for righteous.
Oh. You're so right.
Righteous.
Righteous. Okay, so any final thoughts on that, or should we go to our MVP, LVP, and our favorite quote?
Was it as wild as I made it out to be? No.
Maybe not so much, but it still was entertaining. I'm going to stand by that. I'm going to stand by that assessment.
Fair enough. Let's flip the Citadel coin.
Where's the Dragonite coin?
I don't know. It's not where it usually is.
Oh my god, it's lost?
Where the fuck did it go? I guess it's in the village.
It slipped into a time warp.
Oh my god, where is it?
This is shocking. Usually Austin is so organized and nothing ever leaves that desk of his.
I don't know. I must have moved it somewhere without realizing it. Okay.
Oh my god.
This is what happens when I have fidgety fingers.
Okay.
Let's flip the Citadel and put out a APB for the Dragonite coin.
Okay.
Tails. Oh, I found it!
Well, that was quick.
It landed where the Dragonite coin landed. Okay.
It pointed you right in the direction you needed to go.
Okay, so I'm first.
Wait, you said Tails.
Tails. Oh, shit, goddammit. Tails, you're first.
Always trying to usurp my MVP, LVP quote.
Sorry.
Anyway, my MVP. This is hard, because we don't have our usuals, so have to be creative.
We got Jesse James Meow.
That's true. Not really part of our usuals. I'm going to give it to... Oh my god, I don't even know. I'm gonna give it to...
You fought me to be first, and here you are.
I know. Oh no, it's the consequences of my actions. I'm gonna give it to Professor Brown, or whatever.
Okay, we called him Doc Brown.
Professor Doctor.
That's his Christian name.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it to him because he's a freak, but I can empathize with his extreme social anxiety. And I felt bad for him because he was the victim of an intolerant town who does not know how to handle anything different than their immediate surroundings. So, and I felt bad when his little, like, robots with the flowers got smashed. Oh, that broke my heart. My LVP is going to be, I guess, Kate, honestly, for, like, or maybe all of these townspeople. Should I just give it to Kate, or should I give it to all the townspeople?
Either one. It's your LVP.
Okay, you know what? I think I'm going to give it to Kate because I feel like she's the mastermind behind why these townspeople even know about Team Righteous in the first place. I bet you she's the one that came across these films and forced all of her fellow denizens to watch this stuff. What?
Her grandparents had these film reels when they moved into this town and had to downgrade all their technology to fit in with the local environment. Because it's like a commune or something.
Right.
And these people have completely lost track of the real world. And so she found these in her attic and was like, look, people, look at these holy messengers on these moving picture devices.
I agree with you. I think that that's absolutely it. I think she's the real reason why these poor fucking people are indoctrinated. Maybe she's, like, the daughter of, like, the cult leaders or something. Because I feel like she's a prominent person.
She had access to the forbidden technology.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's all coming together. She's the real issue here. Plus, she can't seem to separate the fact that James is a completely different person than the guy on TV. So, like, get your eyes checked or something, girl. And she doesn't really seem all that bothered when he leaves. So, I feel like her ultimate goal was to, like, harvest his kidneys or something. She's up to no good. I just can't put my finger on it quite 100%. Anyway.
In today's day and age, we cannot tolerate ignorance.
That is
willful
true.
Ignorance. We can't. There's no room for that in this world. Actually, there's lots of room for this world, but it's ruining everything. So there you go.
Well put, Austin. That is completely true. And that is why she gets LVP. All right. My quote. There was a couple good ones. Actually, I lied. I didn't write half as many as I thought I did. I guess I'll just give the quote to the guy who was, like, doing the presentation reel. He's, like, MC or whatever, the butler. He kind of looks like a butler. He says, "And who could forget that time Team Righteous stopped that band of bank robbers in the caves outside Viridian Forest? Or that time they unmasked the identity thieves who were about to descend upon Pewter City?"
Interesting. So these are imported from Kanto.
I know. Also, like, just a quick aside, identity thieves swarming on Pewter City? What the fuck? Like, what? What kind of plot is that?
I will say, I've been using Ultra Q as my nighttime aid lately, and those episode summaries sounded very Ultra Q.
Ultra Q?
Ultra Q is the Japanese version of Twilight Zone, basically. It's like a ripoff.
Oh.
It was the direct predecessor to Ultraman.
Got it. And of course, my personal favorite was the time Team Righteous fearlessly saved the world from a space invasion. And that's it. That's the quote.
Yep.
Your turn.
My turn. My MVP is going to be Jesse for her never deviating from the plan. She was always going to make these people into her laborers, and she was always going to start a criminal mecha armada nightmare.
She's such a queen empire. For that.
Yeah. So she gets my MVP for that. My LVP, I'm going to give it to James for letting this girl who's not in reality, her, like, hero worship get to him and be like, ooh.
Honestly,
I've never been with a woman before, basically.
Can I just jump in really quick, interrupt you, and defend my boy James?
Okay. Defend Jimmy.
Jimmy. Okay, I think it wasn't so much like he was getting a puffed up ego about like her being in love with him. It didn't seem like that to me. It seemed more like the allure of a normal life was what was speaking to him, because at the end, I think that's very apparent. Because he's not so much, like, into her, exactly, I wouldn't say. At least not at first. I think the promise of, like, a normal life. Because his speech at the end where he's like, you know, we could finally have a good life and be the good people or whatever.
Get married to a woman and have 7 to 8 children, only 2 or 3 of whom will die in infancy.
Do they even have access to, like, modern medicine, healthcare?
I can guarantee you they don't.
All right. Anyway, I just think he was just waxing poetic about having a normal life for once and not having to sleep on the dirt and split a cracker 3 ways. He just wanted to be normal.
I'm still going to give James the LVP. Sure. Because even though he's not actively trying to take advantage of this girl, he would still be taking advantage of this girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, her naivete and not realizing that he was not an action hero. I mean, he'd have to eventually come clean, and I wonder what the fallout of that would be.
Right.
Thankfully, we don't find out, because I feel like she would snap and murder him.
Well, I think she would come out in her negligee or whatever, and he'd be like, oh no, I changed her mind, I'm too scared. And he'd be like, run out the window. Do you like my idea of James as like afraid of sexual contact?
I mean, I feel like he's somebody who is still exploring his sexuality.
Correct.
So, maybe.
Well, Jesse Bell completely fucked him up, for one thing.
I mean, Jesse Bell was, like, insane. And also, he was rejecting her because he wasn't into her, but also he was rejecting the wealthy lifestyle, so I totally understand that.
There's a lot to explore there, and we could, but we're not that good of a podcast. So, moving on. My quote is actually going to be on the same topic, and it's Kate begging James. And she says, is there any way that you could stay here and join our village and live with me? I mean, with us?
Oh.
But I actually have a backup quote.
What? What's nothing wrong with that one?
Yeah, but I still want to use it.
Okay.
This is what I call the quote that refers to American foreign policy.
Oh, God. Oh,
it's
no.
It's Meowth saying, it's peaceful. Now's our chance. Attack it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, next episode.
How do you even respond to that?
By going on to the next episode.
The next episode we have In the Nicker of Time.
Okay,
which you will be summarizing in 3, 2, 1, boogie.
Our twerps meet an insane person named Nikolai, who is a furry, and dresses up like Pokemon so he can feel like the Pokemon, so he can capture them. And Max is pissed at him because he thinks that Norman must be a shitty gym leader if he could beat Ash. And so Max stalks him through the woods, covers himself in Zigzagoon food, gets eaten by the Zigzagoon, and then Nikolai saves them all, and hooray, and by the way, May lost the battle. And that's it.
Oh my God, what the fuck was this episode?
Welcome to Pokemon episodes.
Okay, I like this episode because it's wacky, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about, but I feel like Nikolai was just like a terrible and horrible version of Bill. Like, not an endearing kind of Bill. He was like a scary kind of Bill, and his like...
Bill was already scary.
No, Bill was great. What are you talking about? I love Bill, and we love the Lighthouse episode and his like Kabuto outfit that he could not get out of. But this guy is a menace, and we're going to talk about him. Anyway, okay. We have to set the stage first. So Ash is in the middle of a battle in Petalburg Woods with some rando kid that he found in the forest wandering around, because that's always a smart idea.
An exclamation point appeared over his head and the music changed.
I mean, honestly, I don't think Ash really would have had a choice to, like, not battle this guy, because this guy is, like, pushy and insistent in, like, the worst way. I don't think he would have taken no for an answer. Ugh. Creepy vibes.
Oh, you got more out of this guy than I did.
Also, I'm hamming it up for, like, oh, fun. Okay.
The Beedrill Kid? I was not paying attention to Beedrill Kid at all.
Oh, wait. Is this not... Oh, my God. Why was I... Oh, my God. I completely misremember that this wasn't the crazy kid.
Oh, I was like, wow, you got a lot more out of that Beedrill trainer scene than I did.
Okay, I think I may have, like, face blindness. This is the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to me on this podcast.
Well, you could tell it wasn't him because he wasn't in a giant Beedrill suit.
Oh, I forgot. Y'all... Okay, so this is a normal kid. Although he could be a crazy person. I don't know. Let's just go
with it. I'm sure he is in this world.
Pikachu wins the battle. Anyway, long story short. I like Max's interaction with Ash after this battle because he always has to chime in with his, like, post-battle analysis. And he's like, you're too flashy and you just use too much energy in your battling. Like, you could be way more efficient, but you're just flailing all over the place. And Ash is like, shut the fuck up. I know what I'm doing. But honestly, I kind of agree with Max. I think Ash has a lot to learn still. It's at this point that we see a giant Zigzagoon. And Max, being like the little walking encyclopedia that he is like, that's interesting. I've never seen a Zigzagoon that's that ginormous. Usually they're like, what, 8 pounds and like a couple feet long? Like, they're not giant. This is a monstrosity. So they're intrigued. They're like, we gotta follow this like freak of nature and see what's going on. This big Zigzagoon comes across a little, what would you call like a pack of Zigzagoon?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I always have to know.
Zigzag, a platoon of Zigzagoon?
A platoon. Oh, I like that because it rhymes. The platoon of Zigzagoon are here, and this giant one is watching it from the bushes. They are shocked when the Zigzagoon rips off its own skin and vomits up a man. And they're like, oh my God, this is the worst thing we've ever seen. Is there like a radioactive goo leak somewhere? Like, what is going on?
Oh, I thought the Zigzagoon took the substance.
Oh, it could have taken the substance. God, did we talk about how we saw that movie on this podcast?
Yes, we did.
Okay, then I will skip that. It's a good movie. Recommend everybody go watch it. Anyway, May and Max have a problem with personal space. So they run up on this freaky guy and they're like physically poking him and like examining him.
May is convinced that he's a Zigzagoon man, that he has transformed into a man.
That somehow this is actually possible. And Max is like, you are a special kind of stupid. Turns out this guy is a certifiable lunatic anyway, because he is very amused at the fact that they are wearing shorts. He calls them knickers, because that's the British term, I guess.
No, I thought knickers was a British term for underwear.
Is it? I thought it was like breeches. Like, it's a kind of breeches with like puffy sides. Honestly, what this guy was wearing was just like big shorts. I didn't really get the vibe that they were like special pants.
Boom.
Were you right?
In the UK, knickers is the standard term for women's underpants.
Oh. I thought those were bloomers, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think that's an American term.
Well, I guess we have like the New York Knicks, which is short for that. Anyway, this guy's obsessed with shorts, I guess.
Sorry, I'm looking at the history of bloomers and how they were developed in the 19th century as a helpful and comfortable alternative to the heavy, constricting dresses worn by American women. They take their name from their best-known advocate, the women's rights activist Amelia Bloomer.
Ooh, I had no idea.
Wow, we've come up with a whole... Okay, I'm going to keep doing this research. You talk about this boring Zigzagoon episode.
Sure, Austin's just looking at underwear stuff.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at dresses.
Alrighty. Anyway, so this guy is a freak. He has a weird obsession with these short pants, and he could not give less of a shit about Brock and Ash because they're wearing long pants / jeans.
Why did we not call him a youngster?
I got the, oh my God, I love shorts and they're so comfy and easy to wear.
You can tell that the four kids scriptwriters are not fans of the video game franchise, and why would they be? We've talked about this a million times.
I know,
but if this episode had been written and translated today, they would have had him call himself Youngster Nikolai, and he would have said the sentence, I love shorts. They're comfy and easy to wear.
We all were thinking it. It's literally that episode. His name is Nikolai, like Austin said, and he is a self-proclaimed naturalist. I guess it's like a trainer class. Like, to your point, the youngsters, like in the game, you have the youngsters, the hikers, the lass, the picnickers, you know, all those ones. He's a naturalist, a knickerbocker. I don't really know. Apparently, there's more than one of him.
Heaven forbid.
God, could you imagine? There's more of him. There's dozens of them. Dozens.
Okay. So naturalist is different from naturalist. Got it.
What?
That is... Okay. Oh my God. This is the weirdest episode. Actually, no, it's not. We've had way weirder episodes. Naturalist is any person who studies the natural world. Naturalists make observations on the relationship between organisms and their environments, as well as how those relationships change over time. As well, and there's like various things, like what is a naturalist? A naturalist is someone who spends time outdoors, records observations, and develops a knowledge of nature while being blah, 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 blah.
Sure, that sounds nice.
A naturist is a lifestyle of practicing non-sexual social nudity in private and in public.
What?
The word also refers... Okay. He's not that.
That was not what I was expecting you to say.
That's what I thought he said.
He's a naturist. I'm a weirdo. Okay, so he's like a nudist... I mean, he's halfway there with his shorts. I mean, all he has to do is roll them up just a little bit more. So, how old is this kid anyway?
See, he had a mudkip, and he was established. He was trying to get a Zigzagoon, so I assumed he just started.
He's older than them, though, for sure. I feel like he's older than Brock.
He had to do some study into naturalism.
I mean, honestly, he's probably so obsessed with like pants and shorts that he probably just really couldn't function, and so it took him a while to like get out and start doing something. He spends all his time like cosplaying as Pokemon, so
he couldn't start his journey until he made a giant costume of every single Pokemon he could possibly encounter,
which we will discuss in one moment. So this insufferable buffoon is like, oh my God, let's have a battle, because he finds out that she is the daughter of Norman, the Petalburg gym leader. And so he's like, well, obviously, if you're the daughter of a gym leader, it's like in the blood and you have to be just as good as him. No regard to May and her personal desires or wants and the fact that she's a brand new trainer who's never had a battle against another person.
Whatever gymnastics we need to do to get May have an official trainer battle.
Sure. Because we have to make her hate it, right? So.
Yep.
We have her first battle, and it's a Mudkip versus Torchic. So right off the bat, a terrible matching pair. And she predictably does just as awful as you would think that she does. She loses after one attack. She cannot get her shit together. And Nikolai is a terrible person because he is a sore winner who rubs it in her face. And he's like, ha ha, you're fucking terrible. You should be ashamed of yourself. Max does not get mad about that and the fact that he's insulting her to her face. He gets mad over the fact that he is insulting Norman, the dad. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you must not be so good. If
this is what I remembered from Max. His hero worship of Norman. Me.
Yeah.
Of course not.
I wonder, and I may be like completely jumping the gun on this, but I wonder, do we get any kind of like character growth of Max where he maybe like doesn't worship Norman so much, or does that like stay?
Put a pin in that. A pin in that.
All right. I think I'm asking too many questions.
Because I don't remember. So.
Okay. We'll see. It's Pokemon. It's not that deep, so I don't expect it, but I'll be pleasantly surprised if it happens. Meanwhile, Team Rocket has escaped the clutches of those crazy townspeople from before, so they're here and they're scheming in the bushes to steal Mudkip because, wow, a fucking Mudkip. Amazing. They have to have it. Giovanni would be beside himself. Max, meanwhile, sneaks off. He doesn't tell anyone. He just sort of peels off from the group to sneak away to follow Nikolai to exact revenge on him because how dare he make fun of Norman? How very dare he.
This episode is very much we have new characters in the crew. Let's explore how that works.
Sure.
May is still learning that she doesn't like all this crap. But she's being forced into these situations.
Yeah.
And Max, because Max is a little kid, he can sneak off and be a brat.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they never punish him for it. Just FYI.
I mean, who's going to punish him? They're not his parents. Like,
that's true.
I mean, I don't expect Ash or Brock to like...
You don't expect Brock to be like, Max, if you sneak off without telling us, you could get hurt and we wouldn't know where you are.
I mean, he is like the motherly figure, so I guess so. He should say something, but also like, May is his older sister, so maybe she should say something. I don't think she really cares, though.
No, she does not.
So
May doesn't realize quite how dangerous this lifestyle is going to be.
She's really naive. I really don't think she has any clue. You're right. The danger does not compute for her.
Yeah, we haven't had a movie adventure yet.
We need one of those.
I think that'll really put things in the frame.
Yeah, I think we need one of those where we actually have, like, an antagonist who there's, like, shit happening.
Like, life and death peril.
Sure. Nikolai is using a bunch of fruit to attract all the Zigzagoons, but Max has a good idea. He's like, well, if I get all the fruit first and get more fruit, I can get all the Zigzagoons to come to me, and then, ha-ha, you won't be able to catch any Zigzagoons, so fuck you, Nikolai, ha-ha. So this idea kind of backfires on him, though, because he gathers up all this fruit, and then he gets attacked by a giant pile of Zigzagoons who almost suffocate him to death under the pile, but Ash, May, and Brock come to his rescue. Unfortunately, they also get surrounded then by a bunch of angry rabid animals who are like, how very dare you steal our fruit from us? And they're about to like die, I guess, and get ripped to shreds. But then Nikolai jumps in with his stupid fucking furry suit. I am so sorry, not sorry. And he's like, hello, I am the King Zigzagoon. Follow me. Ha ha.
You mean you didn't like his like quote of Zigzagoon, 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 Zigzag, Zagoon.
Oh my god. And then he starts like howling at the moon. It's embarrassing.
At least he's not a naturist. He's not doing it naked.
Oh my god. Maybe he's naked in the costume. You have no idea.
That's true. I don't know that.
He might not have pants on under there, in which case.
No, he would never leave his shorts.
Oh, that's true.
He's a never nude.
He's a never nude. Oh my god, you're so right. Maybe he just like keeps the pants on around his like ankle. Who knows? Maybe he's naked.
Okay, they have to be somewhere touching him at all times.
That is very disturbing. I just got, like, the heebie-jeebies all over me.
How does he shower?
He's such a freak. Oh, my God. I think we've just alienated anybody out there who may have been a furry in their spare time, but...
Who what?
May have been a furry in their spare time.
Okay, you can be a furry. That's fine. What you can't do is be a furry, go into the wilderness, and expect wild animals to understand you and follow your commands. That's what you cannot do.
So... he makes off with all the Zigzagoons. There's a battle. Who really cares? Nikolai's like, I need a Zigzagoon. It's my life's goal. What the fuck? Who cares? He catches one. Congratulations. Not really. Team Rocket decides that they need to have this fucking Zigzagoon, Mudkip, whatever. Honestly, I can't remember which one they steal. They steal Mudkip. Something. Mudkip. Okay, sure. Great. Nikolai goes insane and starts chasing them in an APOM costume that he has somehow produced from somewhere. I have no idea where.
He was wearing it under the Zigzagoon costume, obviously.
Oh, right. So, okay, let's do a recap. How many of these costumes have we seen him dress up in?
He had a Mudkip costume. He had a Tentacruel and a Blossom costume.
Right.
Is that it?
I think so. And the Zigzagoon made multiple appearances.
Yes.
Where is he getting these from? Where?
Popular furry Pokemon magazine.
I should have known.
No, just kidding. He has the same dealer that Bill does.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. I can just picture them both going to like some crazy convention.
Bill hosts the convention in his lighthouse. I wrote a fan fiction about it.
That's true. So the insanity continues. He starts chasing them up a fucking mountain in his APOM costume, screaming APOM, APOM, APOM. Why? I have no idea. Oh my god, we missed one. Because he jumps off the mountain and in midair he turns into a Gligar.
This is the best one.
And then I got irrationally angry because I was like, how very dare you try to imitate Gligar Man? You will never.
No, Gligar Man was his own entity. This is just a giant Gligar space man, lowercase m.
Sure. I'm still feeling that he sullied the good name of Gligar with this costume, so I can't forgive him.
But the costume was amazing. Alice, did you miss the part where he jumped off a mountain in the Gligar costume and he was able to glide through the air, grab Mudkip from Team Rocket's clutches, and safely make his way back to the ground?
I mean, are you expecting me to be like, wow, Nikolai's the best. He's so cool.
That's why he's going to get my MVP, actually.
Wow. Well, that's a choice, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what? That's not really him, though, is it? The Gligar costume can hold its own outside of that. So if we can separate the Gligar costume from the Nikolai, then that's fine.
The question is, did he make the Gligar costume?
Maybe not.
That's the operative question.
I feel like they're too good. I feel like he doesn't make them. I think he commissions them from somebody else. From Bill. Bill's the one. I'm going to just... That's my...
Definitely from Bill.
...continuity, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, if they were Bill's costumes, there would be a button on the outside that he couldn't reach that he would need to press to take them off.
We don't know. There could be a... No, because Nikolai, like, pulls them off, like, just like a shirt. He just, like, pulls them off.
They're shittier quality than Bill's accurate replicas of what it's like to be Kabuto.
Okay, so maybe Bill keeps the good costumes with, like, the animatronic, like, mecha implements, like, in there with a button. He keeps those for himself, but he gives the shit ones to Nikolai. That's his Etsy. He puts those on Etsy.
Okay.
I think we blast off Team Rocket somehow. I didn't really pay attention to this part. Nikolai is like, okay, well, May, you suck, but it sounds like I'm not ready to face off against Norman because Ash apparently is so good, but even he lost to Norman, so he's not ready. But in the meantime, he can challenge Ash to a battle to sharpen up his skills. This was a weird way to end the episode because we don't really even get a resolution to this battle. We just kind of get like the beginning of it where Ash is being a little bit of a dingus and not knowing how to use a Talo in a battle, even though he's had a Pidgeot. He's had a Pidgeot before. He knows how to use flying type Pokemon. I'm not really sure why a Talo would be any different than any other Pokemon, but he can't seem to figure out like dive. What did he say? He's like, Talo, dive. I mean, climb. I mean,
I don't know. I was too distracted by the Gligar costume to pay any more attention after that was gone.
Oh, is that where it lost you at? The Gligar
costume? I was soaring off into the sky and that thing.
Oh, okay. It was embarrassing. I was like, both of y'all are like not doing a good job in this battle. And Ash, I feel like you should know better. You were just in like a league. What the hell is wrong with you?
And that's why the episode suddenly ends. The end.
And then it's over, which I guess we'll never know who wins. Who do you think wins? Do you think it's Zigzagoon wins or Talo?
I think Talo wins because Talo's cool.
I can't imagine Ash losing to this fool. Insane fool with his stupid pants. Thank God it's over with and we'll never have to see Nikolai again. Please God, tell me we'll never have to see him again. Austin, you shut your mouth right now.
Do you want the truth?
I can't handle the truth.
No, you cannot. So we're just going to move on without answering that question.
I'm going to cry. I'm so sad because I know what the answer is in my heart. Well, out of sight, out of mind. Until then, we'll deal with it when we get there.
All right, let's flick the coin. That's not the word. Let's flip the coin. Well, Atlanta heads up, so I think...
That means you're first. It's me. Yes.
Okay, my MVP is going to be Nikolai's Gligar costume.
Oh.
To spite you.
Okay, that's fine. I told you, we got to separate the weirdo from the costume.
And I'm going to take LVP for Nikolai just to spite you even further, because now you have to pick someone else.
Dang.
My quote's going to be, at the end, after Ash blasts off Team Rocket, May and Max say, "Yay, we did it!" And then I put in parentheses in my notes, "They did nothing." May and Max did not help at all. Not that I would expect them to.
I mean, right, but to be fair, they're easily amused, and also, like, all this is new and shiny for them, so I feel like the novelty's going to wear off soon.
Yeah, it has to.
Gosh, this really is hard. Okay, you know what? I actually know. I'm going to give myself LVP for fucking up that first part, the beginning.
What was that first part? Oh.
Where I completely forgot that the Beedrill kid was not Nikolai, the insane Knickerbocker kid, screwing up that whole first bit, so.
All right, I don't want to hear in a year from now, who gave me LVP?
It was me.
It was you all along.
The call is coming from inside the house. Maybe you should just put a little asterisk next to this one and be like, Alex gave herself LVP.
No, maybe. What? I wanted to correct myself, too. You were totally right last week. The Gyarados ate Baby Misty on a beach. She was totally on a sandy plane.
Oh, my God.
And I fought you on it. I don't know why I did that, because I didn't remember, but I was wrong. She was on a beach.
I feel so vindicated right now. Honestly, I would have never known or questioned it, because I completely forgot, but see... I think Austin just likes to fight me for the sake of fighting me.
Sometimes. I'm trying to get dialogue going. That's what I'm doing.
You like to really. Be contrarian. It's fine.
Without three of us, it's a little more difficult now. So
I know. We just have to have our unhinged duo dynamic that we have. My LVP is me. Oh, I already did that. My MVP. Gosh. My MVP.
Is Alex. Forgetting the Gyarados beach thing, right, I guess.
That's my honorary MVP. But in the meantime, let's see. Who Who'd you give it to? Oh, the Gligar costume. Is there anybody else that deserves this shit? I don't even think so. I guess Bill, because... I don't know.
You're really outside the box today. I love it.
Look, nobody else deserved it, all right? I try to give it to those who are most deserving of it, and we got a mention of Bill out of this, so he's our boy. We love him. My quote. There was a few good ones. I think I'm going to do a couple, because I'm really surprised you didn't pick out some of these other ones. Okay, my quote that I'm going to do is when they first meet Nikolai, and May is very offended about the fact that he's, like, such a freak. And she says, excuse me. Listen, we're not wearing knickers. These are just plain old shorts. And Max says, and I don't think I want to be called a balker. My other quotes that I have are... I'm surprised you didn't pick this one from Team Rocket, where she says at the end, they fall into a pitfall. Oh, we forgot to mention, because this was really inconsequential. The Zigzagoon army, the platoon of Zigzagoon, come and they dig a bunch of holes, I guess. I don't know why they dug a bunch of holes. At the end...
I did appreciate how Team Rocket was flying away, so the Zigzagoon dig a hole.
They flew away because they dug a hole?
No. Team Rocket was flying away in a balloon, and the Zigzagoon were like, there's danger. We must build a hole.
Maybe they have psychic premonition powers.
Or maybe they're just stupid animals.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, they dug a bunch of holes, and Team Rocket falls into them. And so Jesse says, hold it. I'll have you know that we hold the copyright on pitfall traps, young man. And James says, and you're looking at a lawsuit.
You left out the best part.
What? What was the best part?
As Jesse slamming out of the hole, you can barely hear her say, I gotta call my lawyer.
Any final thoughts, Austin, on these two episodes?
I sure am glad we're never going to see Nikolai ever again. We don't have to worry about that.
Thank you so much for reassuring me that we will never see him again.
We will never see him again.
just give it to me straight. At least how long do I have to prepare myself?
You don't have to prepare yourself at all. You will never see him again.
Oh, okay. Okay. Whew. Whew.
Okay, so next week.
Great.
No Chronicles episodes. It's just regular episodes. A poached ego and trees a crowd.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to that. I have no memory whatsoever of what these are, so I look forward to exploring those with you.
They're important episodes.
Important.
Well.
Important in what way?
We'll see about that. Okay. But
all right. Austin, you got to be our hype man. You're hyping us up. I'm excited. We'll find
all right,
out.
All right. We're going to meet some new characters. I'll say that.
All right, Matthew McConaughey. That's exciting.
All right.
Well, this has been really fun, you guys. Thanks so much for joining us this week. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always do that. Hit us up on our Gmail account. Send us an email. We love questions, comments, chats, whatever. outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have a Blue Sky account. Follow us over there. Austin posts stuff all the time, and he's really funny. We also have an Instagram. Same handle, outofthedryingpan. Follow us over there too. I'll be posting some stuff. Stay tuned. I promised you guys some pictures from our Sonic escapade, so those will be out by the time you hear this, and some other stuff too. We also have a Patreon. You can support us over there if you'd like. We'd really appreciate your support. Check us out. The link is in the description, and we have all kinds of cool bonus stuff, so please give us a look over there. And we want to say once again, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week as the journey continues.